It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Well, no, it's not Deborah Howell. This is Melanie Cole filling in today on Hogue Health Radio for Deborah Howell. And my first guest is Marshall Moncrief. He's the director of Hogue's Chemical Dependency Recovery Center. He is going to talk to us about the family's role in addiction and recovery. Welcome to the show, Marshall.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. So, you know, the family, once it's been discovered that someone has an addiction, Marshall, and sometimes it's because of the family that we discover this problem.
Oftentimes, right.
Oftentimes, we're the ones to sort of spot things and maybe push them in to see somebody. Then
right.
What is the role then? How does it start? Once you get a hold of somebody, then do you ask the family members to step back or do you involve them right from the get-go?
Oh, that's a good question because it's a little bit of both. First, just to comment on your initial comment, you're exactly right. Being in a hospital setting here at Hogue, for most other illnesses that we treat, patients come very willingly. I've got a broken arm, or I have diabetes, or there's cancer that needs treatment, and they're very willing patients. And in addiction, chemical dependency, oftentimes the person that is addicted or chemically dependent that is suffering is the last one on board to see that there's a problem, to be able to admit there's a problem, and family intervention is often vital for the person to get help. So if I can just take a second and even expand on what a family might do.
Please do.
If they're suspecting that there's an illness. There's a long time kind of phrase, hit bottom, hit rock bottom, that people may have heard in association with addiction, that Joe's not going to get better until Joe hits rock bottom. And we've come to see that as inaccurate, that Joe doesn't necessarily need to hit rock bottom before change becomes possible, and Joe may be the last one on board again to see that there's a problem, and hitting rock bottom for him could be fatal. And being in a hospital setting, it's unfortunate and true that we've certainly seen it get to that point. So I think a family does a very loving and giving thing if they are willing to speak out and speak up on behalf of the person that there's a problem and get them connected to treatment, because where motivation lacks, treatment can help generate the intrinsic motivation for that person to change. So families do not need to stand by helpless and hopeless watching the person deteriorate more and more rapidly. They can stand up, speak out, and in fact, that's the most loving thing to do.
Okay, and I love that you're saying that, because that does give hope to people who say, well, I have to wait until it gets worse and wait until it gets worse. So what about something like codependency, where somebody feels, you know, that it's starting to affect them and they're starting to, you know, it's becoming very dysfunctional?
It's an absolutely painful environment to live in when you're in a family, whether it's a couple unit or whether it's a family with multiple children and other outside family members. It becomes an extremely, extremely painful environment to live in for everyone, and especially the person who's quote-unquote the codependent. But oftentimes, the entire family is enmeshed and entangled, and boundaries have become very, very blurry between you and I and the family, and people lose their sense of self and develop very destructive patterns of relating to one another. There's a reason for it. By nature, families fall into what we call kind of homeostasis or balance. And so if you imagine a little children's mobile, you know, where all the little pieces are perfectly weighted so that it finds its balance, well, when you add alcohol or drugs onto that mobile, it throws everything off, right? It throws the whole mobile off balance. And so the other members of the family have to adjust their behavior. They have to overcompensate in certain ways to find that balance again. And so they start compromising themselves, compromising their own interests, their own behaviors, their own character and integrity oftentimes, the codependent, to try to help that family maintain that balance.
Now, so
this is an illness that branches into every member of the family.
Well, it does, and I've seen that myself. And so besides feeling that codependency, then there are the people that enable their loved one. So maybe they say, well, you know, they cover up for them at work, or they, you know, maybe provide the alcohol because they say, well, they're a nicer person when they're a little bit, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons that people enable.
Oh, exactly. And part of it is this natural inclination to try to keep things in balance, to try to keep harmony. And it ends up taking place or manifesting in maladaptive ways, exactly as you're describing, by enabling the person through either physically getting them the substance or continuing to tolerate and foster that type of environment, all in an attempt to try to decrease discomfort, anxiety, and stress, and maintain a sense of balance. But as it becomes more and more maladaptive, the ways that they approach that, the destruction in the family is inevitable. To comment for a minute more on enabling, we're seeing more and more young adults come through our program who are dependent on prescription opiates. It's an epidemic in this community and throughout the country, actually. And so a conversation we're often having with parents is we're trying to coach them on how to set appropriate boundaries, discontinuing the enabling patterns to give their adult child a chance to get well. It's very difficult for parents, because what comes up for us, and I speak to you as a parent myself, what comes up for us naturally is this innate drive to protect our kids. We want to keep them safe. We want to make sure they're okay. And when we see them struggling, they've gotten arrested, or they've broken an arm again and ended up in the ER while they were loaded, or they've gotten in a car accident, is we continue to wrap these hugs around them to protect them, which on one hand is completely understandable. And yet, as we continue to put pads under their rear ends as they fall over and over again, they never really experience the full range of consequences for their using, for their addiction, and it enables that addiction to thrive.
So, Marshall, in that case, it's not that we're letting our children hit rock bottom, become homeless, and go to jail kind of thing, but we do have to stop cushioning all of their falls, just like on a jungle gym. But we're going to talk about the prescription addiction in the next segment. In the time that we have left, discuss that helping hand. What do you do to help them? How do we get through that actual process after we've realized if we're an enabler or codependent? How does the recovery work?
I'm glad, and I'm aware of our limited amount of time, and so to keep it concise, but I hope thorough enough for someone listening, that enabling pattern, this thing that we call codependency, is as much of an illness in itself as the addiction itself. And so we don't use these terms critically or in a condescending sort of way. These are natural processes that develop around an addiction, and so the family members need as much treatment as the addicted person. Oftentimes that strikes family members' ears with discomfort. What do you mean I'm part of the problem? It isn't to imply that the person has done something wrong, but by nature of being in that environment, codependency and enabling are often a process that's difficult to escape, and so we work with families just as closely as we work with our patients. In fact, Hogue is renowned for our family week. So we spend an entire week during the primary phase of treatment with our family members and patients. And as treatment comes to a conclusion, the families are integrated into our lifelong continuing care program, where they stay connected to this program, both the patient and the family, with our alumni for years and years. And that's why we have and alumni with patients and family members that make it up that have been connected to Hogue for 10, 15, 20, truly 25 years in some cases, who are living happy, thriving lives. One of the things that I like to tell families that are new to this, and it's hard for them to see it at first, is the very problem that's plaguing you now becomes a springboard for the family to live closer and more fulfilling lives together. This is hopeful. People do get better. Treatment does work. And the families come out oftentimes stronger than they were when they originally came together as a family before the addiction ever happened.
What a wonderful speech and what a wonderful way to end the segment. Tell people where they can find more information about the Recovery Center at Hoag Hospital.
Well, you can find us online at www.hoag.org. Look under services for chemical dependency. And you can also contact us at 949-764-5656. And we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for a confidential assessment.
Thank you so much, Marshall Moncrief. And we're talking about the family's role in addiction. We're going to talk about prescription pill addiction when we come back here on Hoag Health Radio. I'm Melanie Cole, filling in for Deborah Howell today. So stay tuned. There's more great show coming up.